Coming up next on Daddy on Board 84, I'll tell you about a father who delivered his own baby, the three best cities in which to raise your family, plus French parenting versus French cuisine. All that and more is right around the corner on the newest dub. Our show sponsor is Gazelle.com. Want to give you money for your used smartphone, tablet device, or other consumer electronic good. So if you're looking for fast payment, fair prices, and free shipping to unload your gadget or doohickey, you need to go over and see our great show sponsors at Gazelle.com. They're the industry leaders when it comes to radar detection, and they're our show sponsors, Cobra Electronics. Find out more about their entire line of detectors, GPS navigation, CB radios, and a whole lot more when you visit their website, Cobra.com. Parents, new, old, expectant, and hesitant, welcome to Daddy on Board 84. I am your host, Mike Quackenbush. I'm a podcaster, a parent, and professional wrestler. And if you've come here looking for sound parenting advice, then prepare yourselves, because your only appointment today is with disappointment. This podcast is not available in Spain or Portugal. Hey, let's get to the news, shall we? A dad delivered his own baby. Have you heard this story? David Herrera was perhaps the most noteworthy dad of the last week. This story made the rounds everywhere. This dude delivered his own baby. How about that? Herrera's wife, Isabel, was in the delivery room. This is about 3 weeks ago. In the small, rustic-sounding town of Westover Hills, Texas. Ready to have a baby come out of her. But the hospital's one on-call doctor had been summoned away for some other emergency. So David scrubbed up, scrubbed in, or whatever they say on medical dramas. And he brought his fourth child into the world like a seasoned pro. He'd been there for the delivery of the previous three, so I guess that counts as some kind of experience, right? Afterward, hey, just so the rest of us could sleep easier, Christa Santa Rosa Hospital, where this happened, issued this official statement to the press. Quote, "We take patient concerns seriously and conduct internal reviews surrounding patient concerns. Labor and delivery nurses are trained to deliver babies when delivery of the baby is imminent," end quote. As an addendum to this, allow me to issue this official statement from the Grizzly Productions Network, of which I am the vice treasurer. Hey, David, way to go, bro. Sophie Borland of the Daily Mail, which is a British tabloid if you didn't know, reported this week on an issue typically thought to afflict women. In fact, about 10% of women suffer from postnatal depression. That is the depression that comes on after the birth of their child. Well, guess what? Up to 5% of men also suffer from this, and it's believed to be triggered by sleepless nights and the responsibilities of parenthood. Researchers at Oxford University believe it could also take a toll on the children of these men suffering from postnatal depression. Their study showed that depressed fathers spend less time talking and playing with their babies. Now, keep in mind that England is just a tiny island off the eastern coast of Ireland, but to complete this research, a total of 38 fathers were studied by Oxford. No, not 38,000, just 38 fathers. That's all they could find, and half of them star in the new BBC series Sherlock. Anyway, the fathers suffering from postnatal depression spoke to their offspring less, and their interactions skewed more negatively. The children whose fathers suffered from this condition were more likely to throw tantrums and become troublemakers at school. So there's something to give you some extra anxiety, right? Parents, let's talk for a moment about the kind of panic that we could do without. If, like me, you're a professional wrestler, and you're often in messy locker rooms, and you have that awful moment where you can't locate your phone, well, let me tell you, there's something out there to remove this from your life. Ladies, and I know that you're all ladies in my listening audience, if you ever put your purse down only to discover it's not where you thought you left it, there's that momentary panic we could all do without. Perhaps you've misplaced your keys or your laptop bag or whatever that case might be. The device that you need, friends, is the Cobra Tag. It's made by our great show sponsors and friends over at Cobra Electronics. And what you do is you take that Cobra Tag sensor, you attach it to your keys, your handbag, your computer bag, or any other item that you want to protect from loss, and the sensor is going to communicate with a free app that you download onto your phone that reminds you if you leave it behind. The Cobra Tag's a two-way finder system. You just tap the button on the Cobra Tag key fob, and it'll ring your smartphone. And if you're looking for your Cobra Tag protected item, you use the phone's application to make the Cobra Tag key fob ring. The powerful Phone Halo application can even be set to lock your phone when you get out of range. You'll never lose your valuables again with the two-way locator system known as the Cobra Tag. And you don't have to just go to Cobra.com to find out more about it. There's plenty of information there. If you want to get one right now, well, great online retailers, for example, Amazon.com right now is offering tremendous savings off the listed retail price of Cobra Tag. If you head over there and act right now, look for it online, Amazon.com, and plenty of other websites, and pick up one for you or someone you know who's also forgetful. And thanks to our friends over at Cobra for sponsoring the show. What sort of distinction does Grand Rapids, Michigan hold? Well, the distinction of being the best metro area in the country in which to raise a family. The cost of living is low. The local school system ranks in the top third in the country. Almost 90% of Grand Rapids houses are affordable to a family at a median income level. The local crime rate is well below the national average. Forbes magazine measured and ranked America's 100 largest metro areas by median income, overall cost of living, commuting delays, crime statistics, school quality, and housing affordability. So who came in right after Grand Rapids, Michigan, you might ask? Well, I'll tell you. It was Boise, Idaho. They were the runner-up, followed by Provo, Utah, which I didn't even know was a place. I knew that Utah was a place, I should say that. Also scoring really well in Forbes magazine's survey here, Youngstown, Ohio, and Raleigh, North Carolina. So, in short, here's your takeaway. If you're living anywhere else, let's all plan to relocate to one of these cities, and then together we can probably ruin it for everybody that's already there. Did you hear about this woman who got arrested for breastfeeding? Can you imagine? The Huffington Post, bastion of responsible journalism that they are, reported this story from Brookings, South Dakota, which is a city of about 20,000 residents, if you're curious. A 24-year-old woman entered someone else's home and began breastfeeding their baby. The child's mother, alarmed by the intrusion and lactation of a stranger, summoned the police. The suspect's motives remain unclear here, as the Brookings Police Department did not return the Huffington Post calls. And you can imagine if you're getting a call from the Huffington Post, you think, that's a call I have to take. Now, you might imagine that in a small town like this, it would be okay for strangers to breastfeed each other's little ones, but apparently not. I think the mistake here was probably not clearing it with the biological mother first. There have to be guidelines for this type of thing, to keep us all safe from unfamiliar breast milk. Courtney Korda wrote over on PBS.org about helping your kid with their science project without simply doing the project for them. Certainly that is something we can all identify with, either from our time as a child, or depending on the age of your children now, your guilt as a parent. However, this is never really an issue in my house, or at least not yet, as I'm not a scientist, and my son is only 2 years old. Self-proclaimed science mom, Courtney offered up these five simple guidelines for helping out with the science fair project without helping too much. And here they are. 1. Keep the goal of a science project in mind. Science fairs are not for Nobel Prize winners. It's to explore a topic and demonstrate certain curriculum-based skills. That's the point. 2. Help identify an appropriate project for your student. Avoid guiding the child to a topic that interests you so that the project holds their attention, even if it doesn't hold yours. It must be something that interests them. 3. Don't be a researcher on the team. However, you can play chauffeur. You can be a sounding board for ideas. Just don't take over the workload. 4. Make sure the experiment is something that your child can conduct independently. If only you know how it works, you're doing too much. And last but not least, let your child be the one to interpret and showcase the results. Let him own the material, you constant interlopers. Let the kids do it. I'm going to dive into the blogosphere here. This one was over on Dadwagon about how to raise a bilingual kid. Let me say first that if your child is born bilingual, consult a physician or a reality show producer immediately. Over on Dadwagon, they offered up these tips for helping encourage your child's bilingualism. First and foremost, speak the foreign language to the kid as often as possible. That seems very logical. They offer the idea that you should surround the child with foreign language material such as books, songs, movies, and TV shows. Pop culture is a part of any child's life. If you can ensure that pop culture exists in the right foreign language, well, then your kid all of a sudden will want to partake of it. And last but not least, find and enroll your child in a bilingual preschool. There you have it. Hey, in a minute here, I'm gonna deliver a little victory. I'm gonna talk about the bidet, and since we were knocking the British earlier, I'm gonna make sure to take a pot shot at the French. Do you have an expensive coffee habit like I do that requires constant refreshing of your pocket money? Maybe you have a comic book habit, or oh, help you if you've got a gadget habit. You always need the next coolest gadget coming out. Well, whatever your habit might be, you need to go over and see our friends at Gazelle.com. That's G-A-Z-E-L-L-E.com, because they will turn your used consumer electronic goods into cold, hard cash for you. So you look about your house, right? You got some old iPhone 4, maybe an old MacBook Air you don't use anymore, the Samsung Galaxy S4G, or an iPad 2. You want to trade that in for your next upgrade or to support any habit you might happen to have? Well, go over to Gazelle.com right now and get a risk-free offer for your gadgets. And you want to do this today, because every extra day you hang on to these devices, they lose value. So get the maximum bang for your buck. Gazelle's going to give you a quote that stays valid for the next 30 days while you decide if you can live without your gadget, and then you're going to mail it off for free. That's right, Gazelle pays for the shipping for you, and you get paid fast. You're going to get a check in the mail, they'll put money in your PayPal, or you get 5% more when you choose an Amazon.com gift card. Gazelle would love to buy your used consumer electronics right now, so if you want fair prices, free shipping, and fast payment, please go visit our great show sponsors at Gazelle.com today. And make sure when you're checking out, you tell them you heard about them from us here at Grizzly Productions. Dadcentric's Muskrat moved into a house with a bidet in it, and he posted a very funny blog up about this earlier in the week. His first encounter with the bidet was a lot like my first encounter with the bidet. During a misguided and overpriced European field trip, my high school commissioned some 18 years ago to the country of Spain. If you are unfamiliar with the bidet, by the way, it's that thing you might see in a posh hotel that looks like a malnourished toilet. It fires a stream of water with more force than you would expect at whatever is hovering directly over the bowl. You might use this to cleanse yourself after sitting bare-bottomed on a s'more, for example. It is considered to be both a cleaner and greener alternative to using toilet paper, you might be interested to know. Well, the blogger Muskrat reviewed his bidet unfavorably, and I have no review of Muskrat's bidet, as he does not ask me over to his bathroom or allow me to breastfeed his baby. I will say this. Europeans have toilet paper vastly superior to our own. I've been to 8 different countries on the European continent, and they have this super paper in all of the countries. Why the bidet, then? Well, because Europeans are deviants, you see. Especially the Portuguesers. Why blast your butt when you have the super paper, Europe? And then, don't you have to dedicate special towels for this whole thing? Personal note here from me to local importer-exporters. How is it that I can get Haritos mango soda at my local Sunoco station, but no one here can get me the super paper from Europe? Let's poke some holes in the myth of French superiority with the help of our friend blogger Matt Gross, who's over on Dad Wagon. He recounted a couple of the stories that we've been covering here on the Dob in weeks past about the superior parenting techniques of the French. For example, Karen from Time Magazine had reported about the self-control of well-mannered French children at a dinner party that she attended, in contrast to the seemingly out-of-control behavior of their American counterparts. Jennifer Ann Conlon recently wrote in the Sunday Review about how European parents' lives are far less child activity-centric than our ours here in the United States. She reflected on her time living in England, Belgium, and the U.S. before concluding that here, her life is dominated by the logistics of her kids' activities, which all took a backseat to her own life while she lived across the Atlantic. Matt from Dad Wagon did not offer any evidence to refute any of this of these well-circulated pieces. He just wanted us to know that the French have lousy taste in food, and their cuisine lacks spice. This, he seems to imply, negates any imagined superiority of theirs. Way to bring him down a peg, Matt. You can check out the very witty blogs that they post up over on dadwagon.com. That's the blog, one of the foremost daddy blogs out there, as we rival the mommy blogs. for advertising sponsor dollars. Before I read a little victory that was sent in to me, a couple things. I want to encourage you, of course, to send me your little victories. Do you like when I pronounce your name possibly incorrectly on this podcast? Then you need to tweet me your little victories. I'm at the Daddy on Board. You can also drop them off on our Facebook fan page if you so choose. You can drop it on Google Plus. Somebody eventually will cull it from there. We would really appreciate your reviews over in iTunes. In particular, I only allow 5-star reviews. This is important. There's some kind of metric that puts us on top of the what's hot section, and I want to be hot. So I would like for you to leave a great review there for me. I will read them all personally and delete the ones or edit them if I don't like what you have to say. Before this little victory, though, I wanted to let you know that I, as you may have gathered, I was gone. I did not decide to stop podcasting. But I went to the Walt Disney Resort in Orlando, Florida. I discussed this at length with my longtime chum, Cliff Manicotti, over on the Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe, which is a podcast I co-host, as is The Trending Show, which may feature his wife. In any event, a number of you were kind enough to send in suggestions on how to manage this daunting, most daunting of theme park experiences with my son Elliot, who is not yet 3. And I'm very thankful for those of you who sent in the suggestions. In particular, one thing that I want to certainly echo to any of you out there that are considering making a trip like this, this was something that was repeated often, was the idea that when your little one's nap time is coming up, you need to return to the hotel and allow the nap to happen on schedule. If you gamble with this, if you risk not getting it right, the rest of the day is all out of sorts. This was the case at least 2 or 3 of the days that we were there. You also want to take this into account. For example, as we stayed at a Disney resort, there's a system of buses or otherwise shuttles that will move you for free between where you're staying and where the attractions are. The problem is that oftentimes these run on intervals between 20 and 30 minutes. So if your little one, for example, has a tendency to fall asleep in the stroller or while you're sitting around waiting for the shuttle to arrive and then is likely to be woken up when the shuttle actually gets to the hotel and you disembark, be aware of that. Because as we've talked about on previous Daddy on Boards, you know, that truncated nap is never sufficient. But of course, getting the child to go back to sleep after they've had truncated nap is all but impossible. So really only, I think it was on the last day, was the formula correct in that we had to leave the park more just over an hour before the scheduled nap time so that we were back at the hotel in plenty of time for the nap to occur on schedule. I cannot express to you what a difference maker that was in the overall mood of that particular day. Really key that you get that right. Of course, it's really important to be mindful. Where we were in Orlando, Florida, it was very warm. Even in the month of April, it was quite warm. To keep the little one and yourself hydrated, as the crankiness factor of all little ones and adults combined escalates rapidly in those situations and, make frequent stops along the way, too, for snacks and things along the way. If you don't recall this from previous visits, as I lamented on the Grizz, I'll tell you that the Walt Disney World Resort in Orlando, Florida is especially stroller-friendly now. I don't remember this always being the case. Maybe it was. But I'm keenly aware of the fact that they have stroller parking lots now. Some of the attractions you can take the stroller right in with you. Not many, but some you could. And all the ones where you couldn't, there was always, as ridiculous as this sounds, ample stroller parking. And those lots are minded by, Disney attendants. So, if you worry that your stay at the happiest place on earth will be marred by a stroller theft, fear not, as Disney puts people on their payroll to babysit our strollers while we're inside enjoying their attractions and such. We had a fairly good experience all around. As I'm sure you realize, Disney invests quite a bit of money in making sure that their guests, their customers, are always well taken care of. There were lots of opportunities to interact with the characters, which were probably my son's favorite things to do. And, so much of it is just geared for the ease of the family that I was really impressed with the lengths that they went with to make sure that in almost all circumstances, it's not universal, but almost all circumstances, it was very, very accommodating to bring a little one along. So in any event, thanks to all the loyal Dob Bobbers that checked in before I went with their advice. That's how it went. And now, without further ado, this little victory was sent in by The Mad Turtle on Twitter. The Mad Turtle writes, "My 2-year-old went twosies on the toilet for the first time." That's a big deal. That's no little victory there, Mad Turtle. That's a big deal. Thank you for sending that in. I will be back next week with a podcast called Daddy on Board 85. In between, I'll make a trending show, a Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe, and you'll catch me buzzing around wherever it is Chikara goes. To find out more, visit me over at chikarapro.com. It's a fun reimagining of professional wrestling that will never insult your intelligence. We're probably coming to a town near you soon, unless you live in Spain or Portugal. I'll be back next week. Bye, kids.